Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" Jesus said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. This morning, as I said in the announcements, we enter the season of Epiphany. Now, we all know about Christmas and Easter. Many of us are familiar also with the journey of Lent. But this season, Epiphany, the season of light and revelation, is a bit underappreciated. Epiphany begins after Christmas and carries us all the way to Ash Wednesday. Some years the season is as short as 5 weeks, but this year we have 8 weeks of Epiphany. And in these weeks we hear the bread and butter stories of Christianity. Between the high dramas of Christmas and Lent, the time of Epiphany returns us to the basics, which is not synonymous with unimportant. During these weeks, we hear foundational texts such as "Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God," and "Blessed are the poor in spirit," and "Love your enemies," and many more phrases near and dear to the Christian heart. Through all these 8 weeks, the texts again and again point to the power and mercy that is embodied in what we knew as the Christ child just a few weeks ago, and now the grown Christ living and teaching. This morning, our gospel reading was one of those basic stories of Jesus beginning his earthly ministry and extending an invitation. It is basic, simple even, but it is also the beginning of discipleship and the church as we know it. With three words, Jesus invites the disciples on a journey that will change their life. Come and see. And we should pay attention here, modern disciples. This is the basis of evangelical ministry. Jesus is about to lay out the ultimate plan for church growth and revitalization. Come and see. No fancy slogans, no promises of a slick, hip church. No telling what you will find, simply an invitation. Just as varied as the disciples' answers are when they see this Jesus, they respond with "Rabbi" and "Messiah" and "Anointed One." Just as varied as their responses are, so is what one will find when they respond to an invitation. Jesus says, "Come and see." If I were to invite someone to this church, I cannot guarantee what they might experience. I cannot say with absolute certainty, "Come to my church, the people are nice. Come to my church, you'll experience Jesus in a profound way. Come to my church, all your ailments will be healed. come to my church, the coffee's pretty good. I cannot tell anyone inside or outside of this church how they may encounter this Jesus guy. That is a God movement, a God-centered relationship. Every person will experience God through Jesus Christ, and that will happen in God's place and time. It is tempting, though, to want to take a cue from mass marketing and offer promises we cannot keep, to make claims that belong to God, not to me. It is tempting to tell people that they will have their best life now if they follow this church's one-of-a-kind three-step program. But the promises are God's. The claims are made through Jesus, through sacraments like the waters we just splashed on Allie's head and the meal we will share in just a few moments. And all the church and all the world belong to God alone. May we never forget that. And yet, we are told to be inviters, just like Jesus said with his come and see. What would your invitation sound like? As diverse as those first disciples, as diverse as the church is today, so would our invitations be, I would guess. Maybe instead of come and see, it could be come and pray. That's what I find meaningful at church. Come and meet my teacher. My God healed me. Come and see. I learned how to forgive. Come and hear. We are called to invite others. This is a part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. To speak and live out our faith and say, I belong to Christ. Here's what that means for me. It does not have to be an elaborate plan of church growth or evangelism, and it certainly should not be threats or demands. We lovingly tell what God has done for us and invite others to experience that grace for themselves. It is not an invitation to coffee or the social hour. We extend those invitations every other day of the week. This is an invitation to share and experience what God has done for you and for me and for us all. Jesus is bringing us as disciples into relationship with God. And it begins with this beautiful, simple invitation. Come and see. And this inviting is powerful. Just as simply as that first invitation sparked the Christian church, so have other invitations throughout history had powerful, world-changing ramifications. I recently heard an interview of a young pastor who spoke about the influence that Gandhi had on his life. This young pastor said that he was invited, to attend a lecture about Gandhi and Gandhi's theories of nonviolent resistance. So this young pastor attended the lecture and heard stories of peace, war, oppression. He heard of a movement born out of longing and hope and need. The young pastor was inspired and certainly moved, but never imagined that his own life circumstances might call for a similar path. The invitation to come and see led this young preacher to hear about the experiences of others, and the power of those experiences moved him to lead a life that was different and told others to come and see. And a movement was born out of questions, connections, and invitation to see Christ in one another. This young pastor was Martin Luther King Jr. And I will close my sermon today with his words, a cutting from his letter from the jail in Birmingham. Listen for the legacy of faith that came before Martin Luther King Jr. Listen for the experience, for what God has been to him, and for the invitation that he then extends. It is not come and see, but it is an invitation to be a disciple. He writes, I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. Just as the 8th century prophets left their little villages and carried their thus saith the Lord far beyond the boundaries of their hometowns, and just as the Apostle Paul left his little village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to practically every hamlet and city of the Greco-Roman world, I too am compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my particular hometown. Like Paul, I must constantly respond to the Macedonian call for aid. There was a time when the church was very powerful, in the time when the early Christians rejoiced at being deemed worthy to suffer for what they believed. In those days, the church was not merely a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinions. It was a thermostat that transformed the mores of society. Whenever the early Christians entered a town, the people of power became disturbed and immediately sought to convict the Christians for being disturbers of the peace. Things are different now, he writes. So often, the contemporary church is a weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. Far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structure of the average community is consoled by the church's silence, and often even vocal sanction of things as they are. He continues, I hope the church as a whole will meet the challenge of this decisive hour, but even if the church does not come to the aid of justice, I have no despair about the future. I have no fear about the outcome of our struggle in Birmingham, even if our motives are at present misunderstood. We will reach the goal of freedom in Birmingham, all over our nation, because the goal of America is freedom. Abused and scorned though we may be, our destiny is tied up in America's destiny. We will win our freedom because the sacred heritage of our nation and the eternal will of God are embodied in our echoing demands to rise. There end his words. And now, in response to the gospel, to the invitation of Jesus, we will take the next minute to remember a time that we received an invitation. Simple, profound, repeated, or a once-in-a-lifetime moment, I invite you to take out your index card in your bulletin, and if you don't have one, there are more back at the usher's table. And you are invited to write, or draw, or even capture in one word a time that you were given an invitation that was meaningful to you. And then we will collect during our offering what you write on the index cards, and as I said at the end of Epiphany, create something really beautiful with our hundreds of index cards that all point to how we are made into disciples. I'm guessing somehow, whether it was as an infant at the font, an invitation to dinner, or something that changed your life, you have been invited to come and see in some way. The invitation that begins our life as disciples has indeed worked justice in our world. May we be brave enough to respond, yes, Lord, and tell others to come and see, for Jesus is here. Amen.